Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carley, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America, one of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you, after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarley.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know to my list, and there's no charge for being on that list. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune disease, seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself, for we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the bbsradio.com website, Station 2, and include the following. Toll-free USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. Toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype at BBS Radio or Paltalk at BBSRadio_com. Every week I will answer the question, What's Ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good when they are actually inoculations with disease and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. It is time for everyone with a conscience to realize that if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it. The question is, how far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? Do not be afraid, for the truth shall set us free. And as the weak-willed puppets of darkness are being made visible to the public eye through shows such as this, the once feeble calls for cease and desist are becoming the roaring outcry which will bring about the evolution of consciousness necessary to change everything. The next step in human evolution is to take responsibility for our lives and those in our care, to live in a sacred way, to do unto others and our earth as we would want done to ourselves. So please spread the word about these broadcasts. I would like to thank the Americans Bulletin for sponsoring this show. The Americans Bulletin is one of the last bastions of a non-controlled, non-corporate press. Recent issues have carried articles on the planned use of water as a weapon of mass destruction, the true purpose behind the Social Security number, whether or not taxes are legal, how the financial system has been tweaked to make you a slave of the state, and what you can do about it, alternative health, the vaccination issue, and a whole lot more. You can subscribe to the Americans Bulletin by visiting the website AmericansBulletin.com or by calling 541-773-2756. The Americans Bulletin, because you need to know the truth. Only $40 a year, 6 issues a year. It's the First Amendment forum for free-thinking people, persons. And remember, I'm also now on www.republicbroadcasting.org every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time for 2 hours. Before we start tonight's show, I would like to send a special happy birthday to my only child, Joey Carly, who is 12 years old today and who I have not been able to see, speak to, or contact in any way for over 5 years, who continues to be tortured because his mom speaks the truth. So I would ask all of you to send a special prayer to Joey today and that he would know and feel that he is loved by everyone, because Joey Carly is responsible for me doing what I'm doing today. It was him being brain damaged by vaccines that started me on the road to alternative health and developing my protocol, which reverses all autoimmune diseases and cancer, and my experiences in the Krupp course in trying to save him from his abuser going as high as the United States Supreme Court, that taught me just how corrupt the courts are. And we're going to be dealing with that area of what's ailing America tonight. I just want to let everyone know, because I had sent out a blast, that Janet Phelan is going to be on the show tonight. Unfortunately, she is sick, so she can't join us tonight to give us an update on the evidence she has uncovered in the probate murder story, including how the cover-up goes up as high as the governor's office in California, and how many complaints filed are not even given a case number. They are just put in the circular file. Hopefully, Janet will be able to join us again next week and will also update us on her water as a weapon story. If you did not hear that show and how remote control valves have been installed in all homes in the United States for the purpose of killing certain Americans, I highly suggest you go to the archives and listen to that show on September 27th of last year. Tonight's show will be What's Ailing America, Court-Ordered Guardianship Abuse, with my special guest, Bonnie Ryder. Am I saying your name right, Bonnie?
You've got it right.
Okay, and thank you so much for coming on tonight. I just want to basically say that, let's see what you wrote to me here, that you live in South Florida, you're a baby boomer, and that you have been involved in the guardianship nightmare starting 2 years ago when you found out there was irregular bookkeeping by a sibling. So how did you get involved in the guardianship abuse, and how did your eyes get opened as to how bad it really is?
Well, it was quite by mistake. I had had some personal problems. My only child had passed away at the same time that my mother had a major stroke. And because I was not in the frame of mind to take over her bookkeeping, which should have been my job because I was the person left as the trustee when my dad passed away, but because I was in such shell shock from, I was 28 years old, an unexpected death, I was just kind of reeling, and asked my sister if she could do it. And so she did. And that went on for about 3 years. And I finally was coming out of my depression and my sadness, and I finally said, you know, you've done it for 3 years. I think I should take over and share that, because it's a big responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's then when I took over that I found irregularities, to say the least. And made my mother aware of them, and then all hell broke loose. that's when...
So I just want to ask a question. Your mother was still able to think. Her mind was still working okay. It was just that she had physical disabilities from the stroke? Okay.
Exactly. She played cards 5 times a week after recovering from the stroke. She read 3 books a week. She was in good mental condition. Physically was where she was disabled because, it rendered her unable to stand, sturdy alone. She did start walking with a walker, but later it became, more difficult. It was more physical than anything. It was not mental.
Was she still living in her own home?
She was. When she had the stroke, we got a long-term care person in. It was there 24/7. And
why on earth would she need a guardian?
Well, the guardianship didn't happen for 3 years. It was only after I became aware that there were some irregularities that I started doing a lot of investigating into my mother's bank accounts. And as each thing turned up, my mother was apprised that actually she would go to the bank with me. When we realized how much had been, not accounted for, we had to actually, my mother called and made a report to the police department because there was about a $9,000 outstanding credit card bill for a card my mother didn't know she even owned. My sister had taken it out in my mother's name and hers and had run up huge bills, almost $70,000 over the course of the 2.5 years. She was also paying for that out of my mother's bank account. So to try to get the bank card straightened out, she called the police because they said you had to have a police report made in order to get it taken off. Otherwise, you have to say it's fraud. Otherwise, they won't take it off. So when she made the report, and when it got back to the sibling, their wheels, I guess, got started. And rather than have to face the music, unbeknownst to my mother or I, they had somebody come in and say that my mother was incapacitated and filed for an immediate guardianship.
Who is they?
They is one of her children, one of my mother's grandchildren, because, you see, she couldn't. The sibling couldn't because she was under investigation. So she couldn't go in and do it, so she got one of her children to do it.
And just went into the home and made certain observations or alleged observations?
Oh, no, nobody. As a matter of fact, my mother was living in an assisted living. She had stayed with me several months and had a back fracture. And after being in a nursing facility for about 7 weeks and talking with social workers there, they suggested that she go into an assisted living where she could be with other people because it was psychologically more sound for her to be in that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to them, and we went, she and I, and we looked at different places, and we settled on one. And so she was living for a time in her assisted living. They were not even aware of where she was living because they stopped calling and they stopped coming over, and there was no attempt on their side to get involved and see my mother. They knew, quite honestly, how my mother felt. That was all the grandchildren and her two other children. So when this happened, it happened quite by accident. It turned out that somebody came to the rehabilitation where she was recovering, noticed her. It was somebody in the family knew. They went back and said, I saw your grandmother at such and such. And 1 week later, she was served with papers into being forced into a temporary guardianship. The scary part about this, Carly, is that there was never a hearing. Simply a a grandchild went, got a lawyer who made a petition claiming that she was in imminent danger, which of course is an outlandish, out and out lie.
Well, and first of all, wait, let me ask questions while you're talking to clarify things for the listeners. How could she possibly be in danger when she's living in an assisted living facility and she has help available 24/7? How did they even, like, you know, claim that?
That's the question that this is the question every person who finds themselves in this position asks, because it's almost always that exact case. The parent is never in imminent danger. It's somebody making an accusation. The scary part about this really was that not only was my mother living in an assisted living with full-time care, not only was at the time that she was served these papers in one of the best rehabilitation homes in Boca Raton, Florida, but she was happy, getting better. They came in, and a sitting judge was leaving. He was, there was a 2-week period in which the permanent judges had, one was leaving and one was coming on. And so they had what they call a temporary retired judge sitting on the bench. This grandchild came with an attorney, made these accusations to this sitting retired judge. Instead of him having at least looked at the paperwork, questioned it, sent somebody out to find out if in fact this was true, there was no hearing. My mother was never notified. My mother was never represented in court. They simply pushed it through. We got the notice, and my mother was irrevocably locked in to a what was supposed to be a 30-day temporary guardianship. As it turns out, not to give away the story, but it turned out to be 90 days, and she was dead at the end of 90 days.
So what was supposed to happen during that 30 days? Was this guardian that was appointed supposed to investigate the case? I mean, obviously, the first thing they should be doing is going to the home that she's living at, the assisted living home, and inquiring of the people there as to what the facts are in regards to your mother's situation. What were they supposed to do? Did they do anything to investigate how your mother was doing?
No. This is the MO. They came in, they pushed through the paperwork without any kind of investigation from family services, from the police department, never investigated one scintilla for evidence as to whether those charges were even true. They were not true. But you see, once you're in the system, you cannot get out.
Oh, I know that very well, but I'm just trying to have you bring forth these facts because, as I always tell people, and all of you listeners who are sitting there saying, I'm so glad nothing like this has ever happened to myself or anyone that I love, if we continue to do nothing, folks, it will happen to you. This is becoming so flagrant. It's happening all over the country. I hear people talk about this every day. They go after the children in family court. They make charges against good parents for no reason so they can steal the children and adopt them out, making thousands and thousands of dollars per child. And they're going after the elderly now with this new guardianship scam. And how was the guardian chosen for your mother?
Oh, well, let me tell you, this was a nightmare. When I found out, in fact, that this was already a fait accompli, I had to then scramble to look for an attorney. Because, you see, at the point that you become a guardian under guardianship, you lose all your rights. My mother had not one civil right that she could hang her hat on. when guardianship takes over, you make no more decisions. You lose every single right, in every single inalienable right that you have as an American citizen. A murderer on death row has more rights than a person in guardianship.
And that includes the right to appeal the decision, correct?
That's my point. You see, had my mother been able to have a hearing, she would have been represented by her lawyer who would have, if nothing else, would have shown paperwork that would have said, well, if there's going to be a guardianship, we have in place a guardian appointed by this person, and this was done in my office, and I'm her attorney of record for 15 years. Instead, they didn't. They didn't give my mother that opportunity. She never had a hearing. This is what's so incredible. This is why people should be outraged that people can, it's like being put in jail with it's like no habeas corpus. You have no way to defend yourself. You simply are taken prisoner with absolutely no evidence, no trial, no jury, no nothing, no judge. That's what made me, you know, I just took me weeks to figure out how could this happen? How can you make somebody a ward of the state without even knowing whether or not what was said was even true? You wouldn't be put in jail without some kind of hearing. And that's what they do with elderly people. They just confiscate them and treat them like yesterday's garbage.
Well, I just want to make it clear to the listeners that the same thing is true with the children. Anyone anonymously can make a complaint, and they will just come and take your child. And then, like Bonnie said, once you're in the system, it's a horror show to try to get out of it. And
I don't know if you ever can, quite honestly.
Well, no, you have to basically give up. I mean, that's the only way. You have to let them take your child because that's what they're out to do. They're out to actually steal children from families because they get over $40,000 a head just for having them in foster care, and then if they can adopt them out, there's big bucks involved in that. But I just want that clear to the listeners that this is so serious. You can't even imagine the devastation. I know because it happened to my son. But just like Bonnie said, I mean, imagine having something happen like this out of the clear blue sky. You can't even imagine here in America that such a thing could happen. And I will say that even in the criminal courts, I mean, the way the courts have come to be in this country is that you're guilty until proven innocent, and if they want you to be guilty, they will make you guilty. They will fabricate evidence. They will lie. They will cheat. They will steal. They will do anything they have to do to get you to be where you want to be. And so please continue explaining to the listeners how a guardian was chosen for your mom, because obviously you weren't allowed to be her guardian, even though she had nominated you as trustee. And as you said, her lawyer of 15 years wasn't asked if he would do it. So how did the court choose a guardian?
Well, actually, I was written in as her guardian, as her power of attorney, as her health surrogate. All that paperwork was in the file, in her file with her attorney in his office. But because they seized her, she was now a guardian of the state. She was already in the system. So I contacted a lawyer who couldn't take the case, and he gave me the name of another lawyer, and I was scrambling to find out, what can I do to stop this? What can I do? And to top it all off, this retired judge, I don't know much about him except he doesn't share a very good reputation in the community. It turns out that he not only gave guardianship, made my mother go into guardianship, but he actually gave the guardianship to the nephew or the grandchild that put in the complaint.
This was the son of the siblings. Yes, it's obvious that he was paid off. I mean, this is the way it usually goes. I'm sure there was a meeting in the back room by the lawyer for this grandchild that made the complaint, and he was given a figure, and, you know, as long as he paid the judge off, that the case would go the way that they want it. I mean, this is how it's done. And I just want to clarify, when you said your mother was seized, are you saying that they actually went into the assisted living facility and took physical control of her and took her out of there?
No, I'll tell you what they did. She was in a rehabilitation home, rehabilitating from what they called spontaneous back fractures, because for years she had been on prednisone, and so her bones, she's 93. Her bones were very brittle, and she was getting these spontaneous fractures.
Okay.
But what happened was, the day that this this formal document came into effect, I was prohibited from making any kind of decisions, which I had been making all the decisions on her care. I'd been involved with all the doctors. The grandson came in like he owned the place, took over, told everybody, she's no longer in charge, you're not to listen to her. My mother was scheduled for a procedure to fuse these fractures. It was supposed to be like 2 days out from when this letter came in. He canceled and denied my mother the right to have this surgery, because he just decided he didn't want to do it. There's this 93-year-old person laying in the bed in agony, because I don't know if you know anybody who has back fractures, but breathing is hard. And they have this wonderful procedure out now that they put this glue in. It's an outpatient procedure. She had already had it done twice before. It's a 45-minute outpatient procedure, and she was scheduled to go into the hospital, get it done, and she would have been fine.
It had worked well for her before?
Huh?
The procedure had worked well for her when she fractured her back before?
Unbelievable. It's like a miracle thing. It's an unbelievable procedure. It's called chiroplasty.
So on what basis could the grandson unschedule this necessary surgery?
He didn't have any. He just canceled it, and my mother was laying there in agony taking pain pills for the next 10 days until I made such a crazy scene that he was forced into rescheduling it. What happened in the interim, which is really the scary part, is in the interim of this, and I think he did this on purpose upon reflection. At the time, you know, things are happening so quickly, you don't know what's happening. You think you're losing your mind because you can't understand how this is happening. But I think he did it on purpose, because while she was waiting for the next week, they then sent in what they call 3 independent people who are supposed to deem you whether you are competent or incompetent. Now, when they filed this, that's what they said, that she was not only in imminent danger, of course, which she wasn't, but they said that she was incompetent and that she couldn't, anything that she had ever signed or anything that that there was undue influence or some foolishness like that, of course, there wasn't. They had these 3 independent people come into the facility that she was in, and while she is under heavy, like Percocet or whatever they give you when you're in pain, and it was a very strong, I don't remember which pill it is, but it's one of those strong painkillers. While she's laying there kind of doped up for the pain, she has no hearing aids, because we were supposed to go get her hearing aids fixed, but they wouldn't let me take her out to get them fixed. They wouldn't let me take her to the ear doctor. So she couldn't hear, and without the hearing aids, she heard nothing. She really was almost, totally incapacitated for hearing, unless she had her hearing aids in. So they were not non-functioning, so she couldn't hear. And all of a sudden, these people are prancing in while she's laying in the bed without hearing aids, doped up from the painkillers, and they're asking her questions to see whether she's competent or not. Well, of course, I just absolutely went berserk with them and said, how can you possibly to be testing for confidence when you're talking to a 93-year-old person who can't hear because her hearing aids aren't in, and she's half out because she's been doped up for pain.
Exactly.
Well, that's when I realized I needed an attorney to see how I could stop all of this, because I saw this whole thing spinning out of control. So I was referred to and this is the saddest part of the whole thing. All the lawyers are in it. They're all in it together. I go to a lawyer. This is a really sickening part, because you think your help is on the way. You're going to get somebody who's going to defend you. Uh-huh. I go to a lawyer and I tell him what's going on, and he says, "I said I need to get my mother's papers in front of a judge." He said, "Well, let's not do that. First thing we have to do is get your nephew off as being guardian. Why don't we just put in a temporary guardian for 30 days, until we can get into a courtroom?" And that was my biggest mistake.
Right, because you didn't realize he's dragging it out so that he can start, pulling the funds into himself.
Well, what happened was, it turns out that he talked me into taking a private guardianship company called CareSource down here in Fort Lauderdale. And they take over the case. And it turns out, later I find out, that they actually told me they could no longer represent me at some point. Why? Because I was fighting the fees that they were charging my mother for the guardianship fees, and they said that there was a conflict of interest.
Because they were
already the attorneys for this particular CareSource.
Oh my God!
Well, before they even took me, they already were representing them in other cases. They never told me that though.
Right.
And so I had to start all over again. I spent of my own money trying to save my mother over $100,000 in legal fees.
Wow.
In 6 months.
Wait, I just want to ask, so that once they took over control of her, you couldn't even get to any of her money to defend her, correct?
Right. Oh, no, all the money, $400,000 was used up. I'm going to get $8,000 of a $400,000 cash reserves that were in my mother's name. Everything was given. They took everything, almost everything, except about, I just got something from the attorney. I might be getting something like $8,000 out of a $400,000 cash estate.
In addition to the $100,000?
In 3 months, they went through $400,000.
And what were those charges for?
Let's see, the attorneys got about $85,000, $90,000. There were so many mismanagements. How can I explain this? The guardianship got about $40,000, $50,000. This is for 12 weeks, you have to understand. My mother died, they took over in the 9th of January. She was dead on April 25th.
Yeah, what they do is they examine the finances as soon as they get involved, and then they figure out how much can they basically siphon off and how fast can they do it. So
correct.
What on earth were the lawyer charges for? Did they actually charge her for the lawyers that they used to fight your lawyer?
Yep. My mother paid for every single thing. The lawyer was charging to have the guardianship call them to ask them a question that a legal person didn't need to be asked. They involved themselves. They requested where you had to go in for mediation, which they knew nobody was going to mediate, but that's okay. They did it twice to the tune of about $6,000. And it just went on and on and on. It's the most corrupt, disgusting thing that anybody could go through. I will be honest, having lost my child, this was actually more painful than I can even begin to tell you. This is like somebody ripped your heart out. because they're only violating your parent, they're violating you.
Well, not and only that, but they're actually violating your belief that we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave and that we have the best country and that the legal system works and that the right doer wins and that, you know, criminal things like this could never be done in America. I mean, this is like something that you would expect in Nazi Germany or, you know, a country like that, but this country has become just like that. But I just want to repeat again, because this is what I'm understanding from you, and this is really the most outrageous part of all, is that you had to pay for a lawyer. You paid $100,000 for a lawyer to try to rescue your mother from these people, and
that's right.
She paid for the lawyers that were actually going against her, your lawyer, that were trying to rescue her. Is that correct?
Right.
So she was paying for the lawyers that were fighting your lawyers.
Right. My mother paid her. My mother's money was used to put her into guardianship and keep her in guardianship, and I paid $100,000 to try to get her out. This is the sad part. Once they went in, and I, of course, used to take my mom to all of her doctor appointments, and I remember the first appointment that we had after they became guardians, and of course, I said, well, I'll come by and get my mom, and I'll meet you there. And because, you know, I was trying to work with these awful people, but they said, oh, no, you can't drive your mother. I said, why? And they said, because we said so. And what did they do? They hired a van at $100 each way to come pick her up and drive her to the doctor, wait there, and then bring her back, rather than let me take her.
Well, also,
one time they made a doctor's appointment. They forgot to show up. Thank God I was there. And I was there to go into the doctor's because the guardian person never showed up. And they wouldn't let me take her off of the premises. I couldn't take her out to lunch. I couldn't bring her home. She couldn't have meals. She couldn't go off the grounds.
And what was the reason for that?
Prisoner.
What was the reason for you not even being
allowed? They didn't have to give a reason. They just said, you will not take her away.
Amazing. So once you did get an attorney who did not have a conflict of interest being involved with the guardianship people, why didn't that attorney try to bring the matter to a court to have the guardianship
reversed? My mother died long after I found out. This started in January. On April 25th, well, let me back up a little bit. They started in January. My mother had a medical condition that I took her to doctors for because she had some blood in her stool. And I took her to the doctor because what I didn't know was that it had been going on for years. I didn't find that out until I talked to her doctor because my sister never told me about it. So I took her to an oncologist to see what he thought it was. And I said, do you think it's colon cancer? And he said, no, I don't think it is because, number one, she's had this for 3 years. He says, I rather suspect he did some kind of test, but she was really too old to put through a colonoscopy. And he says, this is my theory is that, you know, because of all the medicine she's taken and because of her age, it's sort of like her whole system is kind of shedding, you know, it's breakthrough bleeding. Mm-hmm. He said, as long as she's not in pain and as long as she takes iron pills, she should be okay. If something changes, you'll let me know. Well, once the guardianship got in, they decided that this was a problem they were going to handle differently. And they took her to a doctor, and they did a sigmoidoscopy, because they couldn't do a colonoscopy. And the doctor said, well, there's some kind of something there, he says, but I can't really define what it is, because without going in, we can't know, perfectly what it is. it was then that they decided, when I got back that night, I found out they had decided to call in hospice.
Okay, I want to back up a little bit here. First of all, I have been through a sigmoidoscopy myself. It is one of the most painful procedures. They have to blow air into the lower part of the colon in order to blow it up so that they can look around better. And like you said, at 93 years old, that is ridiculous to do a procedure like that.
Well, that's what they made her go through.
Right, and I'm sure that they also... I'm sure that they also sent her to their doctor. You see, I realized that these players, they have their own people to do whatever they want to do. They're all in on it together.
Well, this wasn't. This was a doctor that did get recommended. I never went to him before, but this was a doctor that was recommended by her doctor. So I can't say that that happened.
Wait a minute. Why couldn't they let her go to her doctor? Why did he have to recommend somebody else?
Because her doctor is just a general doctor, and the general doctor said, I think you need to go to a specialist. So
okay.
we went to the specialist. I think the point I'm trying to make is that right after that, the night I went back after that meeting, hospice was already in the room. And 12 days later, my mother was dead.
Now, wait a minute. How could they make a decision to put her in hospice when they don't even have a diagnosis that she has cancer?
Well, that was my question. But, you know, I have to tell you something, Carly. At this point, I was so beaten up. I was so disgusted with what was going on. I was watching my mother in such anguish because she saw her children doing this to her. I must say my mother never spoke to my sister again, even though she would come to see her. My mother refused to see her. And, you know, at first they, you know, kept letting my sister go in, and finally they just told her not to come anymore because it was so upsetting to my mother. And it's because my mother was lucid. It's because my mother knew what they had done. I mean, it was bad enough that the money wasn't there, but it's another thing to turn your mother over to the ward and be a ward of the state so you can keep yourself out of trouble with the law.
It's the ultimate betrayal.
It is the ultimate betrayal. And it's the most sickening story, but I have to tell you that I, as bad as this story is, I have gotten to know people whose stories, believe it or not, are worse. I know it sounds horrible. People are probably thinking, well, how much worse can it get? But when I tell you, I hear stories about how people and are still fighting for their parents. Some of them are still alive. And how they don't see them for years on end, and how they torture them with all these antipsychotic drugs, and they dope them up, and they torture them by keeping them, you know, doped up so that they don't make any trouble because they know they're not happy. The
right.
Parents are not happy in this situation, and they're agitated, and because they're agitated, they want to make sure that they keep them quiet.
Yeah, it's a
and
chemical
that's
lobotomy.
That's what's going on all over.
It's a chemical lobotomy, and the other thing is, too, that the more outrageously these minions act, then the more upset the family members get, and they're just looking for an excuse to say that the family members are troublemakers, because as soon as that happens, they can get an order of protection against the family member, so the family member is not even allowed to see the loved one anymore.
Can I tell you that the first line of defense for them is to vilify the person who is trying to get them out of guardianship. You become the target. You're a troublemaker. I had an incident in my mother's assisted living where, you know, everybody loved me. Everybody couldn't get over because I saw my mother every single day, twice a day. I used to go there in the morning and have breakfast with her, and I used to come back at dinner time. And I knew everybody in the place, and everybody knew me, and I was on top of everything that went on with my mother. And all of a sudden, once the guardianship came in, I was like a piranha. I mean, I had somebody come and tell me because my mother was, I was looking for my mother one afternoon. They said, oh, she's in the doctor's office. And I said, what doctor? Her doctor doesn't come here. So I find out she's down in this visiting doctor office. I go down there and I said, excuse me. She was sitting in the chair and they're drawing blood. And I said, excuse me, but can you explain to me why my mom is here? And, you know, they became very defensive. And I said, my mother has a doctor. Why are you doing this? If she needs blood taken, she should be seeing her doctor. That he has all her records. Well, he stopped and, you know, abruptly said, well, okay, you know, and blah, blah, blah. The next day, I heard that I was reported to the guardianship people that I was confrontational. Uh-huh. And that the 6'2" attendant that was there with the doctor was nervous that I was going to hit him. I'm 5'4", 120 pounds. I'm standing at the doorway, and I'm questioning them why they're taking blood from my mother because they're not her doctors. And they write it up from a care source, writes it up as me being a problem.
Yes.
I said, the problem is you. You cannot change my mother's medical people. My mother has a right to continue with the doctors that she has always gone to before you came into the picture.
Her history, obviously, and I want to point something else out, too, because people don't realize how much your hematocrit, your blood count, goes down when you draw blood. When they're taking 3, 4, 5, 6 tubes of blood from you, that's a lot of blood to take from somebody who's already anemic because they have a chronic situation of losing blood in their colon. So that was a very good question that you asked. In that situation, even drawing blood could be just enough to set them over the edge and put them into heart failure or something. It's obvious that they were doing everything they could to make your mother die faster, so they could get their hands on that money.
It was also that they just didn't want to be bothered to have to make appointments to go take her to a doctor because that meant somebody had to actually work.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they weren't getting paid for it, but they thought that they were just going to make this arrangement that they could do all of her medical screening and all of her medical appointments right there in the facility. Well, I'm sorry, but that wasn't going to work. First of all, I didn't even know who this doctor was. He had some name I couldn't even pronounce. And he was affiliated with a hospital I wouldn't take my dog to. And I'm not being facetious. I'm telling you it's a really substandard hospital.
Yeah.
Not like the hospital that she would go to if she needed to go into a hospital because of the doctor's affiliation.
Right.
And I told them, I said, you're not taking my mother to that hospital. So get that out of your head right now. You see, I was just a big pain to them. They knew it. And I tried my best to save my mom. And if I had just had good counsel, if I had known what was happening, if I wasn't so blindsided. You know, this comes up. This is why it's so important to let people know, Carly, that there's a couple of ways to prevent this. Number one, of the things people have to know, they have to talk to their parents, and if older people are listening, they have to know something. They absolutely must have a living will. They must have the do not resuscitate. They must make sure they have named somebody as their health surrogate, that they have somebody that, if they are deemed incompetent, will become their guardian. And
yes,
they
but
must
let, wait a minute, sure wait a minute, let me comment on that, because you just said that your mother had already signed papers making her your trustee and such, and all they have to do in that situation to get around that is to say the person wasn't competent when they signed those papers. So it's not enough just to do that. You have to, in some way, and this is how you know the lawyers are involved in this corruption, because if a lawyer really wanted to prevent something like this from happening, they would either videotape the signing of the will or of the papers that you're talking about, or they would make sure that the person had been qualified as competent by a medical professional. You know, there's ways that you can qualify competency at the time that these papers are signed, but they never do that because they want these cases to go into court because usually those attorneys get involved on the line and then they can make more money off the person.
Well,
so I don't agree with you that just filling
issues,
out a list.
I do have issues with all of the attorneys involved. Every single attorney has not gone unscathed. I'm not going to attack all of them now because that's a whole other issue. The attorneys are probably, I can categorically say, are the most subhuman group of people I have personally ever met.
Yes.
With that
and
said,
I also want to make another point. Because, see, just like medical doctors like me are attacked by the medical mafia for doing the right thing, if a lawyer got involved in a case like this, knowing what the MO was, he could not do the right thing or they would go after him. And I've had attorney on this show that did the right thing for a client of his and they took away his bar license. So that's what people have to understand. It's very impossible in this situation to get somebody to actually help you because if they do, then they're going to be in trouble, and they know it.
And they don't have the time. You think lawyers want to get involved in litigation about themselves? And that is the problem. They never went to bat. You know, they should have gone in immediately. They should have said, we will not allow this to happen. We will go into court. We will fight for our clients' rights. This was done in front of people, in front of witnesses. This was notarized. This was witnessed. This wasn't, you know, you take your parent to somebody they've never seen before. You make up a whole story. It's done in 5 minutes. They don't know the person. This is a long-standing relationship with an attorney for 15 years who had done every single will and trust and so on and so forth. The sad part about this is that, you know, like you said, well, you know, what good is having these papers? I think what I'm trying to tell people is that, number one, they need to be involved. They cannot sit back and say, well, it's not my problem and I don't have to deal with it. Because I can promise every single person who's listening to this telecast that someone they know, if not themselves, will eventually will be caught up in the guardianship problem because this is so rampant that if you're alone, once a spouse dies, the one left is just for fodder. I mean, anybody can come after them. And very often, and most often, it's family feuds that start this, as in my family. Yes. But it's not just always a sibling. Sometimes it's a nosy neighbor, an ex-wife, a cousin. You know, you just can't believe the people that get involved in these things and make trouble. And sometimes they don't even know they're making trouble. I mean, I've heard where people ask for assistance in guardianship thinking that they were just going to be helpful people.
Yeah.
Well, there. Get over that. Anytime you have a guardian, you might as well kiss all your money goodbye as well as your own rights. And what I would like to just mention, because it's really very important, is this whole thing that's going on with Britney Spears. The reason it's so important to me is that I've been watching this from the very beginning, and I've called it on every shot. And I know people think, well, she's just a pop star, and this is just, you know, foolishness, and who really cares? But they should care, and I'll tell you why they should care. Because here's a 26-year-old girl. She may be bipolar, I don't know. So join the rest of the world. I mean, bipolar is like the most overdiagnosed diagnosis there is.
Yes.
She has an abusive behavior with drugs or alcohol. Okay, welcome to Hollywood, California.
Right.
You know, if they took every single person in Hollywood who acted with strange behavior and acted out in a childish, immature way, who had a possible addiction and or a possible bipolar disorder, they'd be locking up half of Hollywood, California.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of those movie stars don't have one or all of those kinds of behaviors? My point being that this girl now has been stripped of all her rights.
Mm-hmm.
She, at 26, has no life. Her parents have used the court system to take over the guardianship. And I can tell you that if she contests it, they will fire the parents and a guardian will be appointed by the court. Then the real fun begins. She can watch that $40 million go down the tubes in about 2 years.
Exactly.
And whether she can ever get out of guardianship or not, I don't know. Because once you get in it, how do you get out?
Exactly. Well, we're almost out of time, Bonnie, so I have a couple other questions just to finish up.
Sure.
So your mother ended up in hospice, even though she was never diagnosed with cancer. Was her competency ever settled?
It wasn't. They retested her, and there were some reports that tried to say that she was going to be in need of help. With that said, I think my biggest outcry right now is just because you're old does not mean you're incompetent.
Definitely.
Needing help at 93 doesn't mean you need to have a guardian come in and take over.
Right.
This is
because
what they're
like
trying to equate.
Because like you said, her limitations were physical, not mental. But so they never did do testing with her hearing aids intact and with her not on pain meds. They never did that.
Well, no, they did. They did do testing, and she died before we went to court, so I never actually saw all the reports.
Okay.
She died 2 weeks before we went to court for the
final hearing. And how did she possibly die so fast when she was obviously in pretty good shape, even though she had these back problems?
Well, her doctor asked the same question. He
yes.
said, "You explain to me how a woman who came in to me 2 months ago who was in relatively good health, especially for her age, dead in 12 days." He said, "You know, calling hospice in didn't mean you had to kill her. If she was in pain, you could have helped her with pain. You didn't have to kill her."
Right.
But you know what? That was after the fact.
So how did they kill her? Was it with morphine?
Yes.
Because I just want to tell the listeners, and I've been involved in many of these cases as a patient advocate, and what I've seen is the most common ways that they kill these people is either with a mismatched blood transfusion done intentionally, a cocktail of drugs like Bonnie was saying that they know that they're going to have severe reactions to, especially psychotropic medication, or morphine, because morphine suppresses the respiration. So they put her on a morphine drip and she stopped breathing. Is that pretty much what happened?
They gave her morphine every 3 to 4 hours.
Wow.
It wasn't in a drip. She wasn't on a drip. They would just give it to her. They would just, I don't remember now how they even did it. I have to be honest with you. You know, sometimes
probably
it's
intramuscular,
painful
but
to remember
just as
that
bad.
You almost block them out of your mind.
Yeah, in a 93-year-old person, that's just as bad because, you know, they can't metabolize the drug that fast. So we're out of time, but I just want to clarify. So she just stopped breathing and they found her dead. Is that what happened?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much, Bonnie, for being on the show, and I hope all of you listeners realize that this is going to happen to you someday or somebody you love. It's time for us to get involved, people. It's time for us to spread the word about what's happening to our country, because it's not too late to change things. So thanks again, Bonnie, and I'm so sorry what
Bonnie,
happened.
Could I just tell you that we do have a support group.
Okay,
and
go ahead.
If anybody is in need of it, it'll be set up in the next couple of days. It's a new one. It's going to be ANGR.US. And that stands for Advocates for National Guardianship Reform. And if you look at it, it says anger. And we are angry. We are an angry group of people who want
justice
for our parents. So that's ANGR.US.
Okay, Bonnie, we're out of time. We're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I do hope people will check that website out.
Thank you
Talk
very
to you
much.
Next week. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you next week, folks. Bye-bye.